You are listening to Opportunity Detroit. I love talking to our next guest because he is always coming up with new ways to make Detroit a better place to live, work, and play. Patty Lynch, the owner of several businesses in Detroit, including Dutch Girl Donuts. Welcome back to Opportunity Detroit.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about Dutch Girl Donuts number two. You're adding a second Dutch Girl Donuts to the new center area, Patty. I think your story today falls in the category of making Detroit a better place to play, because everybody loves a good donut.
Yes, everybody loves Dutch Girl Donuts, and the spot on East Grand Boulevard is really great. It's in close proximity to Wayne State, the Fisher Building, Henry Ford Hospital, just Tech Town. So many things happening there, the Pistons facility, that we're excited to be able to offer the donuts just a little bit closer to those things, but only 5 miles away from the original shop on Woodward, where they'll get made every morning, and then we'll drive them to East Grand Boulevard.
You know, Patty, that's a really smart play to bring in a second Dutch Girl Donuts into this Midtown New Center area because of the incredible growth that's going on here.
Yeah, the growth and, the traffic and in that area, the foot traffic. I mean, when we did this little sneak peek preview last week for National Donut Day on Friday, the number of people that just walked from their home or biked from nearby was pretty extraordinary. So it's got a great feel. The shop, the storefront there is really nice. And we're looking forward to it. We think we'll be open, you know, officially probably in July. We're like 6 weeks behind schedule, to be expected when life is crazy. And at any rate, it's all good.
Patty, what goes into opening a second shop like this?
Well, for us, it was just getting the space ready and, getting nice countertops in there and a nice donut display case. And then because we're reactivating a storefront that hasn't been, you know, used in decades, we just have to make sure we're totally up to speed with what, you know, BC'd and the health department. And so that takes time. And, you know, we're also trying to figure out the logistics of exactly how many donuts are we going to bring down every morning? How are we going to staff it? You know, when you've got lots of businesses and little kids, and, you know, I'm still at the funeral home full time, things always take a little bit longer than you want them to take, but we're getting really close.
So how are things going at the Dakota Inn? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so the Dakota Inn, it's now been just over a year since we took over. Carl Kurtz, the longtime proprietor whose grandfather built it, sent me a nice text message at the end of May. You know, he realized before I did that it had been exactly a year since we closed, and, you know, really positive. I mean, the place, as always, is very busy during Oktoberfest and the holidays, and the real challenge for us is, can we get it busier and more active when it's not Oktoberfest or the holidays? So this week coming up is a perfect example of sort of what we've done to create more activity there. We'll be open tomorrow for the Detroit City Football League's weekly after party. So we're not normally open on Tuesdays, but we'll open for them, and they always draw a big crowd. And then we recently opened on Wednesdays, which wasn't the case for decades. And so every Wednesday we have a jazz night where a duo or a trio comes in, no cover. And that's a nice little added wrinkle to the weekly schedule. And then the World Cup will be showing the games inside and outside in the beer garden throughout the weekend. There'll be live music every night. So we've just really brought, I think, more energy to the place. We've reactivated spaces like the backyard beer garden and the Rat Skeller downstairs that weren't being used. And so it's been exciting to see people come back who've been coming for generations and see the little bit of change, but then getting new people who are just blown away by the history of the place and all that it represents. So things are good. Things are good at the Dakota Inn.
So, Patty Lynch, it sounds like when you have businesses like this in the city of Detroit or really anywhere, you've always got to be thinking about how you can get customers in the door. What goes into that process of trying to figure that out?
Well, at a place like the Dakota Inn, you know, a lot of it is just figuring out how to hold on to the past in the ways that have made that place special for 93 years. So it's like, we're not going to get rid of the tradition of Oktoberfest and the Christmas sing-alongs during the holidays and the things that people have loved forever. And why would you? That's the backbone of the place. But then looking at it, you know, through a new lens and saying, well, you know, there are people, the place has always had fantastic beer, right? There's always like 10 beautiful imported beers on tap. But it never really had wine. It had like, you know, maybe one Riesling. And now we have over 200 wines available at the Dakota Inn, you know, at all different price points, mostly German, Austrian, but, you know, plenty of other things to choose from. That's an example of like, you don't need to subtract to add. You know, you don't need to deactivate one space to activate another. You don't need to take away one thing to add a new program. And so I really love being able to hold on to what has always worked and then be able to add things that people are excited about. Showing the World Cup, for example, is something that I don't think the Dakota Inn had ever done, but we'll have TVs inside, outside, so it can become a real gathering space for people who love to watch the World Cup.
So, Patty Lynch, this is a really good lesson for those of us with big brands. And I think the messaging here is you've got this incredible brand that you do not want to get rid of, but there's nothing wrong with, you know, tinkering and changing things up a little bit to go with the times.
Yeah, and that's exactly the case with Dutch Girl. I mean, I would never dream of getting rid of Woodward and 7 Mile, and I think that that's where our history is and where, you know, our quality control and our production should be. But making donuts available every morning on East Grand Boulevard 5 miles away, so all those people headed to that part of town don't have to go out of their way for Dutch Girl, to me, that's, it's a no-brainer in many ways. And so, you know, just because we've added doesn't mean we've subtracted. And I think people appreciate that. I think people gravitate to things that they can feel the history of. And then it's exciting to see it, you know, evolve into new chapters. And I did that, the Schwitz is really what taught me a lot of those lessons about holding on to what needs to be held on to and then updating what needs to be updated. And our family's been doing that for three generations in funeral service. You know, funeral service is an extremely traditional endeavor, and yet people have new expectations and new ways of doing things, and we've had to adapt and accommodate. And so I think that that's one of the beauties and challenges of small business is being able to figure that all out.
You mentioned the Schwitz. Talk about the Schwitz. How are things going there?
Well, the Schwitz is definitely gets the award for the biggest money pit of them all, because when I bought it 10 years ago, it'll be 10 years ago in March, it was really falling into disrepair. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges was saving up and also figuring out logistically how we were going to replace the roof, which was basically caving in. And so that was just an enormous lift that took me years of figuring out and saving up for. And but you know, when we're busy during the colder months, we're averaging over 1,000 visitors a week.
Wow, really?
We're open 7 days a week, and the numbers are just incredible. On a Sunday, we're open all day from 7 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday, and there are times we'll welcome over 300 guests in one Sunday. It's doing what it needs to do, which is to be a popular, busy public bathhouse, really what the building needs to justify all of the investment and upkeep that it requires. Probably the most exciting thing is that we're pretty much in the process of completing the long renovation of the ballroom. People forget that there was an assembly hall, a social hall, a ballroom above the Schwitz since its beginnings, where they would have bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and high holidays and sort of an ethnic social hall that had completely and totally fallen into disrepair. And it's taken me, you know, going on a decade to bring it back to life. And it's usable. We've had some great events. There's still some things to get done, but it's an unbelievable space. Very proud that it's usable after, you know, probably a half century of disuse. So anyway, the Schwitz marches on. People love it. We get, you know, all different people from all different walks of life. You know, we get a lot of combat veterans. We get addicts in recovery. We get, you know, moms and dads that just need a 2-hour break to unwind. It's a really diverse group of people that love the Schwitz.
How many people will that ballroom hold, Patty?
It depends on the event. If you're having a concert up there and you don't need a bunch of tables and chairs, you can fit like over 400 people. It's big. Yeah. If you're having a really nice seated event and you need, you know, space for people to sit down and so forth, then, you know, you're going to probably cut that number in half. But it's a big room. It's about 4,000 square feet. It's got a great stage. It's got a mezzanine. We put in beautiful bathrooms. So I'm excited to see what can come of it, you know, over the next several years as people, you know, discover it again.
Absolutely. You know, Patty, every time I talk to you and we do an interview, you tell me now, that's it, Ann. I'm done. I'm not going to be investing in anything else. But I got to ask, I see a lot of new investments here. What's next?
Well, I you know, you're going to make fun of me. I truly think that I am done for a while because not only did we buy, you know, the Harani building on East Grand Boulevard, which the new Dutch Girl is going in the storefront of, but just a couple months ago, I bought the old former Perry funeral home in Woodbridge at Trumbull and Warren, and that'll end up being the ninth family funeral home. And what I'm really excited about there, not only to bring a funeral home back to life in the city of Detroit, it feels like a full circle moment for me personally, but my grandfather, who started our firm, you know, and became a funeral director in the late 40s, his first job before he even went to mortuary school or World War II was in that building. Uh-huh. And it comes with a nice big duplex that we're in the process of renovating right now so that we can actually house mortuary students. Housing for the mortuary students has become increasingly difficult, in some cases unaffordable. And a lot of students are now taking their classes online, which we do not think is ideal for their training. It's obviously a very hands-on profession. And so for us to be able to serve the city of Detroit with really top-tier funeral service, but then to also be able to mentor the students from Wayne State, which has the only mortuary school in the state of Michigan, for us, that's a very exciting development as a family. And I'm really hopeful that that'll be it for a while because there's plenty on my plate. And again, having the opportunity to pursue funeral service and sort of bring my full-time career and pair it with the work I've done with restoration in the city feels really good personally.
Oh, absolutely. What a great story. When will that funeral home and facility be up and running, Patty?
So we've already moved in one student, a young brave soul that was already working for us and wanted to move in. And so he's helping get the place fixed up. And then we plan to move in the remainder of the students this summer and be open to serve the community probably sometime in the fall. My goal is maybe like October to have a rededication ceremony and an open house and, you know, let community members and clergy and all the people we work alongside come see the updated facility, learn about the mentorship program. It's really a beautiful location. I mean, Woodbridge has always been one of my favorite neighborhoods in the city, and really grateful for its proximity to Wayne State.
Patty Lynch, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you for the updates and all your fabulous businesses in the city of Detroit, and we will check back with you soon.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Ann.
And I am Ann Thomas. Thanks for listening to Opportunity Detroit. Enjoy the rest of your day.